Father, this morning, there's an excitement of what you have purposed to make known to us, but also to take us into. And we want to thank you for the angels that you have assigned for ministry. We want to thank you for so many people around our nation that today you've put a word in their hearts to be able to communicate, and for those to step out and to minister, to love, to touch, whatever it may be. We want to thank you that you haven't just turned your back to this nation of South Africa, but you are so involved because of your tremendous love for the people of our nation. So this morning, Father, thank you as your Holy Spirit just opens, speaks to us, inspires us, gives us some answers that we are needing, and just to be able to know you more and to experience you as our Father and to be established in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. And this we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, also we come and we lift up this morning, particularly those that we know that are battling with illness. And so we just ask for your touch today. We ask for the intervention. We want to thank you through your Son, Jesus, for the healing. And so we want to just now decree the healing of Jesus is over Yvonne, over Billy, Esther, there's so many there, Hetty and Donnie, and we're going to put, there's just so many now, but do we know each other, even for my mom, in the area of the hips and the knees, we ask for the release of total healing there as well. And all these things today we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, for your glory to be made through him and in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, those that have joined while we were praying. Welcome, everybody. Today we're going to just carry on a bit, and so as a bit of a recap where we left last Sunday. Years ago, I was walking and just talking with the Lord and just praying and just having a discussion. And he asked me that question, and I've shared this many times, but it's very relevant for what God is busy doing. I asked the question, or he asked me, why am I living in this town of Sasolburg? And I had many reasons and the logical answers are, you know, and I knew that none of this was going through my mind in trying to answer Jesus. I knew that it's not what he wanted me to, that it was making me aware that my answers weren't the correct answers. And so I said, but Lord, why am I in this town? And that's when he said to me, and it was very clear, very, no doubt at all, faith comes from hearing. He spoke very clearly, and he said to me, you're here in this town because he, Jesus, loves the people of this town. And then he asked me the second question, why is the church in the town? And I said again, Lord, because at that moment, many things flashed through my mind of the history of the body of Christ and in a community. And now again, I said, but Lord, why? And he said the same, he answered the same thing. He said, because I love the people of this town. And that was the first time when I sort of really realized, what is our purpose? What is our mandate? What's our reason for existing as not only as an individual believer in Christ Jesus, but as the body of Christ, the family of God in the community, is because God loves the people. And that is why over the past few weeks, he's been again just emphasizing now the reality of our mandate to love with his love in us, to love a community, to love one another. And so the Holy Spirit is busy establishing this in us far more than what we've ever experienced before, or more than we've loved before. And that is why so many of Paul's prayers is the prayers that our love may abound more and more. And it's our Lord Jesus helping our love to grow and to be established more and more. It's by, in Ephesians 3, by the Holy Spirit that we may be able to grasp the depth and the width and the height and, you know, and the reality of the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge and understanding, and to know this love so that we may be rooted and established. And so all the time we're seeing this taking place. And when we looked at a scripture a few weeks back in John, John chapter 14, and I want to just read that over there quickly for you, in John chapter 14 and verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that, now this is the purpose, this is the why our Lord Jesus will do what we ask in his name. The purpose is so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he goes on speaking about when he's ascended, he's asking the Father for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and dwell in us as believers. And when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us as believers, God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, you know, and we see that now being established in us. And so many of the scriptures that we read there, and particularly in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1 through to 5, many of these that we love because God first loved us. We love because God has put his love in us. We love because God is love, we in him, and we participate in his divine nature. And so all of that is taking place. And so last week we were looking at a prayer, and I'm going to come back to what Jesus is teaching us over here, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember in Ephesians, God has chosen to reveal himself in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now because we're his body, likewise through us, that's why he says, this is to my Father's glory, that you and I bear much fruit. And that's what Jesus is showing us, because his life was bearing much fruit. His life was revealing the glory of the Father. Everything about Jesus was making the Father known, was making his nature, was making his working, was everything about God, Jesus was busy manifesting through his life. So whatever he did and whatever he said, the Father was being glorified. And now in that prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul prays and he says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And he carries on, so that the Father may be glorified in the church and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why there's such an emphasis of walking in the reality of love, because that is the commission, that's the mandate, is to love one another. And so as you and I are now living in the reality of the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that has set us free from the law of sin and death, as we are living in the reality of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, what's taking place is that the deep love of God in us is becoming very tangible, and we are finding that we are living in the answer in the prayer life of Jesus, that we may be one as he and the Father is one. We are living in that truth. And so I want to share some scriptures this morning, and then we're going to go back into the emphasis of prayer and the connection of whatever we ask in his name, and the Father, Jesus will do it so that the Father is glorified. And I think many of us now will start to testify more and more of the reality of answered prayers because of motive that has changed, because of why we're asking God these things. And these things are taking place because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay, so we were looking at the other day, we were looking at a scripture in Philippians. And this was last Sunday. We were reading through this. And in Philippians, Paul is now praying for the church over there. And he prays and he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." And this is what we left off last Sunday. So that, again, he has a reason, he has a purpose why Paul is praying that a love may abound. This is a reason, so that we may be able to discern what is best. And that is so vital for us now as we are shining as light in a community, walking in this love, that we may now really know what is best. We may have discernment. We may be able to perceive things and know how to respond in every given situation. And that's why early on we were just talking. That's why you will find there that we are becoming very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because every situation will be different. We see that in Jesus. He responded to people's needs differently. And it's likewise now, you and I, we are experiencing the result of Paul's prayer that he prayed so many years ago. So, and it carries on, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, and filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so once again, here we are seeing the amazing reality of the life of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you and I, that is by faith have perceived that we've died with Christ, the old original Adamic nature has been put to death, and now in Christ we're experiencing his righteousness, and now by the Holy Spirit there's a manifestation of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That's the fruit of righteousness. It's the life of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit operating within us. It's his manifestation that's operating in you and I as we continually walk in the commission of our Lord Jesus, and that is to be able to love him and to love one another as he loves us. And so this is what he's been doing. But notice over here again, to the glory and praise of God. Notice the motive. God has chosen that through his son Jesus, in his son Jesus, and us as his believers, for him to be glorified. What a great privilege that we have as the body of Christ, as the children of our Heavenly Father, living in a community, to be able to live so that our Father is glorified in us and in his son Jesus Christ. And that is why we come in the name of Jesus. That is why we come, and we, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are participating in his life that's within us and walking in the reality of his incredible ministry. It's Paul says it another way. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the reality of of us coming in the name of Jesus, of us, whatever we do in the name of Jesus. It's the same thing. It's no longer I who live, because we've been put to death in Christ Jesus. We now live a new creation man in Christ Jesus, and we find the law of the Spirit is operating within us. Okay, and so we looked at that there. We also have a scripture over here, and again, you'll see the emphasis on the prayer and also on praying for the reality of the love. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that you may, that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself, notice what Paul is asking. Remember, prayer is discussion with the Father. It's interaction with him. It's speaking with him and listening to him and discussing the reality of the body of Christ or of a community, etc. And so here Paul is just discussing, not, and he, notice it's we, so it's not him himself. It's the apostolic team with him. It's the believers with him. It's praying for the body of Christ over here. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase. Notice the emphasis. You see, this is why when Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The old command was to love as you love yourself. But he takes it now because in Christ we partake in his divine nature. He's poured his love into us by his Holy Spirit. And so now this is the incredible ministry of God in us that's working in us and establishing within us by the Spirit the reality of God's love, what his love's all about, to understand that God's love always releases life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. All the time, when we look at the reality of God's love, we know that life, God's life, is being released. And people are participating and receiving the very life of God that comes because of his love, who he is. He is life. And that is why when we look there at, as I shared the other Sunday, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that famous chapter on love, when you go through that love, love is patient, love is kind, all of that is life. Life, life, life. And so as we now by the Spirit, as we love and let God's love be made complete through us as we love one another, that's life that's being released. We are participating in life, but also we are imparting life. That's why the streams of living water will flow from within. This is the truth that you and I are walking in and growing in there. And so may the Lord make your love increase and overflow. This is for each other and for everyone else. So it's not just the body of Christ now, but for everybody else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So once again here we see the emphasis of when you and I, this is the will of God. This is what brings glory to God in us as his family. So when we go back to John and we come and Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we ask that you will now make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Jesus says, I'm going to do this. This is a confidence we have as we pray and we realize what the Spirit of God is establishing within us to be able to walk in the reality of this divine love of God, to be able to live loved, but also to be able to be loved and to then love living, as we've heard that a few times. So there he shares that over there. Just this scripture again, a new command, I'll quote it to you now. I give you to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And as I shared last Sunday, that we are no longer hidden in Adam. As the Holy Spirit has been giving us revelation of our new life in Christ Jesus, we have realized there that we've been taken out of the old Adamic fallen nature. So we are no longer hidden in that. So our fruit is not the fruit of Adam's nature of unrighteousness. You see? Now, you and I, we are now hidden in Christ Jesus. So our fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love. Okay? And so now when Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that is why in our communities that God has placed, and when he said to me, why are you in this town? And he says, because I love the people of this town. This is the reality as the body of Christ, as you and I, as his children, as we love one another and we love the people of our town. It is God's love in us that we are being established in. That's why we're praying that God himself will increase, that God himself by his Spirit will enable us to grasp the love of Christ Jesus. It's his divine work within us that is establishing this love of God and helping us to live in the reality of it there. Why? So that the people in this community, they can now see the nature of God in us. They can say God has been glorified in us. And in his son, Jesus Christ. People in the community now can see this incredible family of God, the disciples of Jesus, that are standing out. So we are now light in a community. We're no longer hidden under the flesh. We are in Christ Jesus, shining the very nature of God, shining his glory, coming in his name, praying for a community, ministering in a community. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we're doing it in the name of Jesus so that the Father is glorified in his Son and in us as his family in the body of Christ Jesus. And so this year, everyone will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not disciples of philosophy. We're not disciples of an institution. We're not disciples of an organization. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. The centrality of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen to reveal himself through his son Jesus, to manifest himself through his son Jesus. So now, as you and I walk in this incredible love that's inside of us over there, people will know that we are disciples of Jesus. And that's what's happening in a community. That's why we've been set apart. That's why we are this kingdom of priests. And that is why, as we began weeks back with the Great Commission, that is the reality now. You and I are people God has placed in a community. He's placed us in a town. He's placed us in a workplace, in a school, in a family, whatever it may be. He's placed us there because he loves the people that we are involved with. And as we pray, as we love, as we just participate and walk in the reality of the Holy Spirit and grow in the maturity of God's Spirit within us, you and I, they know that we are disciples of Jesus. You see, because remember, the old Adamic love, the human love, is a self-centered fallen love. And it's all deceived in somehow for you and I to be able to be recognized or whatever the case may be. But God's love is selfless. I'm telling you, It is so selfless, this love of God. It is so good. It is so pure. And now that's what's happening in us there. We're no longer selfish people. We're no longer concerned about ourselves. But there's this genuine love for people that is selfless and wanting people to experience what is best. And that's why the prayer, that we may be able to discern what is best for the every given situation over there, because that's the goodness of God. That's the love of God. And you and I are loving one another with this love of Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us, because we have by faith reckoned ourselves dead to the old Adamic. We died with Christ. We've been raised with him into this new life, so that now we can bear fruit of righteousness. We can bring glory to our Father, because we've got a new nature. And with this new nature, we're now able to please the Holy Spirit. We're able to please God. We're able to bring him pleasure and glory, because we have a desire set after God now, and no longer to the old Adamic nature. So praise God for you and I, that we're in a town that he's placed us, wherever you may be. Praise God that he loves the people so much that now he's helping us to be established in this love in a greater depth than we've ever lived before, so that people now will recognize who the believers are versus who are just religious people, but genuine disciples of Jesus, people that walk with Jesus, Christ in us, we in him, people that are in union with Jesus, abiding in Christ, him in us. All of this that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16 and chapter 17, now there's evidence of that. That's you and I. And this is the awesome work of God doing something in a community, because he loves the people in a community. And we are involved, you and I, in whatever way God has gifted you, whatever way the Holy Spirit is leading you, you and I are involved in loving a people, not only the body of Christ, but the people of a community, so that they too can be saved. Because this is the will of God, for all to be saved. And not to be saved. And now this love is the motive that's within us. So this is awesome what God is doing in our communities, in our lives. And so that's why we give thanks. God, thank you that you've placed me in this town. Thank you that you've placed me in this school or in this workplace, whatever it may be there. There's a thankfulness now, because you're no longer doing it for your own self. That's fallen nature. That's fallen love. You are doing it now in the name of Jesus. You're participating in his divine nature, and you are loving the people. And now you've got a mission. Now you've got purpose. Now there's a reason for living, because now you're involved with this incredible mandate that our Lord Jesus has given to you and I, and that is to love one another, and to be involved in this incredible great commission in whatever tangible way God has blessed you and leading you into it. And that, and so this is just, for me, it just shows you that for our communities, for our nation, what God is busy doing in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all that's taking place. Our Lord is not saying, oh, I've lost the battle. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And our Lord is busy building you and I. We are shining. We are light. We are involved in releasing life wherever we go, and people are tasting and experiencing God. And that, and so, as I want, maybe I mustn't say this, get on with the program, because it's not a program. This is who you are, as a child of God, born again in Christ Jesus, as a new creation. This is who we are, and the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And so we were looking at that. And then again, just another scripture to just continue over here. Notice again the prayers of our Lord Jesus. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And again, this is what we just saw, the reality there in John chapter 14 there, of the life of Jesus. And now he's praying this for you and I. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Again, he has another incredible teaching of our Lord Jesus, praying to his Father, our Father, and asking the Father, and this is now him asking Father for the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit was released, this is what came a reality as he spoke there in John chapter 14 about on that day you will realize that we are in him and he is in us and the Father is in us, and this is what's taking place over here. And so he's praying now, he's asking for the promise of the Holy Spirit to be released. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. As we love one another, the world will know that we are disciples of Jesus. The world will know that we are children of God because of this oneness with God, with this walking in the Spirit, and no longer living, surrendering ourselves to the old Adamic nature, because in Christ that has been put to death, and now we can live a righteous life because of the power of righteousness operating within us, so that we can be pure and holy and blameless. And then we carry on over here. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Again, the evidence of you and I living loved by God, being established in the love of God, is a testimony to the unsaved people, because they live in fear, they live in anxiety, they live in confusion, and that they're trapped. But you and I, living loved by God, we live in such security. We live in a place of tremendous rest, and as we are established in this love and rooted in this love of God. So yeah. Just to quickly look at another scripture over here. In Romans chapter 8, and we've been looking at this for a while now, but just to start tying this all together, Paul is writing and he says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And he carries on, for what the law was powerless to do because it is weakened by our fallen nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. And now we're finding, as we are walking in the Spirit, as we live according to the Spirit, and no longer we live according to the flesh, because we have appropriated truth in our lives. We have agreed with the Holy Spirit in what he spoke to us there in Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 6. And we've taken that truth and we've appropriated that truth. And we are finding the breakthrough. We're finding the victory taking place. We're finding the law of the Spirit operating within us and imparting the life of God in us. And now we begin to have our mindset in what the Spirit desires. And the Holy Spirit desires that which brings glory to Jesus and glory to the Father. And so as you and I now continually live in the reality of God's Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit as sons and daughters of God, as we see there in verse 9 in Romans 8, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. That's not us. No. We are in the realm of the Spirit, because by faith we've entered into this realm of the Holy Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. And so we live in the Spirit. And then we carry on over there. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, and the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And so, just to sum up over here, because when you go back to that prayer or the teaching of Jesus, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do this. as we are walking with the Spirit, as we are expounding or exploding in the reality of loving people with this Spirit, with God's love that is poured into our hearts because we have surrendered and we have realized that we have died. We've appropriated that truth. In the appropriation of the truth that we died with Christ, our old sinful nature and the passions of that sinful nature has been crucified. There's a circumcision that has taken place by the Spirit of God. As now we've appropriated, this is a natural fruit. This is a natural consequences of our prayer life. We now have a deep desire, a genuine desire for the Father to be glorified in His Son and in our lives. And this was a sort of a hallmark in the early church. They were sold out to see the Father glorified in the Son Jesus Christ. We see that, for instance, over there when the apostles are being persecuted and all that has taken place. Listen to their prayer over here. Now, Lord, consider, this is the body of Christ praying together all the time. You'll see there in the early church there's an emphasis of the church praying together. There's so much they are praying. Paul writes they pray continually. Don't cease praying, because praying is a discussion with God. It's intimacy. It's listening to Him. It's you sharing with Him, understanding His love for people, etc., etc. And so they are praying now. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So here we see again an incredible reality of here the early church. Father, we want you to perform mighty signs and wonders through your Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because our desire is for you, Father, to be glorified in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the body of Christ. This is now real for you and I, guys. And so be encouraged and know there that in the working, in the walking with the Holy Spirit, our desires have been changed. There's a deep desire for the glory of God, whatever we do. And as we now pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is responding so that the Father is glorified. As you and I begin to pray, as we are praying and we're growing in this love, the reason we exist in a town, the reason the family of God, that we as children of God are in a community, is because God loves the people of the community. And as we pray with this love, praying for the community, Jesus is answering. Jesus will do what we've asked. And that's taking place, guys. And that is why you will recognize more and more activity of the Holy Spirit taking place in the lives of people in the communities where He has placed His church, you and I, His body, His family. So be encouraged to know that God is at work in our lives, and that our desires are changing. We're no longer self-centered people. We're now beginning to love people selflessly with this genuine love of God for people over there. And as we're loving people, as we are praying for people, and as we're praying for people, we know there's a guarantee that our Lord Jesus is answering the prayer. He'll do what we've asked, because He wants the Father to be glorified. And He said to you and I, this is to my Father's glory, that you, my disciples, bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so again, this is our privilege and our reason for existence. So if you want to understand your purpose for life, that's it. To love the community with the love of God, because God loves the people of your town. You want to understand your reason and purpose. It's all summed up over there. You're in a town because God loves the town, and the purpose of that is for you to love the people of the town. Out of that will flow your particular areas of ministry, particular purpose of life, but get back to the mandate, and that is to love as Jesus loved. Get back to that over there. And that's the foundation where your life opens up. That's the foundation where what God wants to do, all the good fruit, all the good works that God wants to do, flows from that place of living in the reality of being loved by God, and to now love the people with the love that is poured into our hearts. So God bless as we just partake in the communion, just celebrating what he's doing, thanking God for one another. I thank God for all of you, because I experience God's love through your lives in that, and it's real, it's genuine. And if we as believers are experiencing it, how much more the unsaved, to be able to experience true love, God's love, and not human love that has a hidden agenda normally behind it over there, but a pure love. So praise God for that as we have communion. I'm going to be having just background music, and it's music that Charmaine, my sister, has put together for us. Very anointed musician, and the effect, you know, when David would play the harp for Saul, King Saul, it's the same anointing, just in the instrumentation over there, a real impartation as we have communion and just soak in the love of God and whatever he wants to share. So enjoy the time of communion in your own way. Amen. Amen. Oh, Father, thank you again. Oh, the joy that's on your heart because of this incredible body, family of yours living throughout our nation. We want to thank you that your Holy Spirit is working and doing an awakening and something profound in your family, in your children, Father. We want to thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that is revealing Christ Jesus and setting us so free to be able to truly just to walk with you and to be your family, your children, and to love a community. Thank you, Father, that you are being glorified in your Son Jesus and also in us as your children. Thank you that people can see your nature in us. They can see the power of Christ's death and resurrection. They can see the evidence of the life, the law of the Holy Spirit. They can see us as believers set free from the passions and desires of the sinful nature and us living as a pure, blameless people, us living as your children, Father, so that people will know that we are disciples of Jesus because Jesus is the exact representation of you. He made you known. He revealed your glory. He revealed your nature, and so people could know what you are like. So thank you for this privilege. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in us and really just opening up and empowering us and taking us into the reality of truth, that we can live in the reality of truth. Jesus, you gave your life. You so loved us. You gave your life so that we, our Lord, we can become children. We can experience what it is to be a new creation in you, a new humanity, and to be able to live in the abundance of your life. Thank you so much that while we were still sinners, you did not say, wow, you're not going to do something about it, but you came and you died for us. You took our place. So we celebrate this morning your death, your resurrection. We celebrate your body. We celebrate your blood. We celebrate your ascension. We just celebrate you, Lord Jesus, in your full glory and who you are as you rule and as you reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, this we celebrate and give you the praise through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen, guys.